You're listening to KBLU 92.3. This is Jason Crummett with Library of Mysteries. We are presenting to you the strange, mysterious, and bizarre, and just flat out weird. Stay tuned. And we are back after 1 week dispersion and presenting to you the odd, strange, mysterious, and flat out weird. This is Aggie Radio 92.3 KBLULP, Logan, Utah. And I have with me here Jason Daniels, a returning guest.
Hello.
Yeah, we're here to talk to you about conspiracies going on in the world right here, right now.
Literally right now.
Yeah, we decided to go for a straight-up relevancy. I think last go-around we just talked about April and how strange April is in general. Which, by the way, somebody was telling me something's going on April 19th. It was some kind of luau or something on campus. You guys look out for that. I don't think that's a bad thing. That's actually kind of a good thing. But it's with the Greek fraternities and whatnot. They're hosting some kind of party or whatnot. I don't know. All right. So, today we have a run-in on Syria. I'm not really sure where to start on this because there's so many different things.
There's a lot of things.
There's so many different things. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so first off, let's give you a rundown of what happened.
Okay. So let's just start out with the fact of Syria's in civil war. If you don't know that, you have no idea what's been going on in Syria for the last 6 years. Currently, the Assad regime that is leading the government of Syria has been fighting against rebels and ISIS for control of the government. Assad has been claimed to have been responsible for the use of chemical weapons against its citizens in this attack, killing 1,400 of them in 2013 with one chemical attack.
This was like back in 3 years ago, and we're now complaining about this one. Not saying I condone chemical attacks, because trust me, I don't. They are atrocious, horrible things Yes. that should never happen in the first place.
Against all Geneva Conventions, UN sanctions, everything. There's no reason for any state to have chemical weapons.
Seriously, it's like setting out a personal vendetta against a people.
Yes.
And why? Well, in this case, it's a civil war, so...
It is a civil war, but the reason that we have such a notion against chemical weapons is you can't control who gets affected by it. If they're in the radius, you'll be affected. At least with a gun or a missile, you can directly target someone. Chemical weapons have no targeting.
No. They're kind of subject to wind patterns to Yes. a large extent. Same thing with nuclear warfare, but we divert. Going straight into what the actual conspiracy theory is, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't hear about this until day before yesterday. Like, yeah, I've totally been paying attention. No, I've just been swamped with all sorts of projects. Going into it though, I was going up to my bosses. I'm like, guys, you know, I need suggestions for this upcoming show. Because, you know, we're actually looking to you, the students, to help us generate ideas, topics, and what you'd like to hear us talk about. In this case, I was talking to some Utah State employees, and anyway, they discussed it. Why don't you talk about the fake Syria bombing? Like, the fake Syria, what the heck is
fake.
That? Clearly, it's not fake. Clearly, it's something that actually happened. However, the way in which it happened is where some...
There's a lot of contention over it. There's a lot of different stories.
Yeah.
And each country wants their story to be the one that's believed.
Exactly. And, you know, the whole thing where Trump retaliated by striking against the very compound which reportedly launched these chemical missiles was condoned by the rest of the world. Except, obviously, Russia, who is allies with Syria and is extremely upset.
Yeah, they're very close to the Assad regime, and they actually had planes at this airfield.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had planes at the airfield. We did warn them, and theoretically they left, but there may have still been some of their military that was still in place that may have gotten damaged in the actual attack.
Well, you know, according to the story, Trump authorized 59 Tomahawk missiles to be launched at the site.
Yes. And for those who don't understand what a Tomahawk missile is, it's basically a drone that explodes. It's a very good, it, you can make its trajectory path whatever you want. You can make it fly in a circle and then hit its target. You can, you have very good control over what happens to these warheads.
Which is just scary, if you ask me. I've never understood the concept or the real reasoning behind Tomahawk missiles, but, you know, we got the lowdown here. But, yeah, feel free to text in, give your comments. 435-79-RADIO. That's 435-797-2346. And, yeah, going straight into it, what happened and what's really caused a lot of controversy is the fact that Trump seemed to have acted alone on this.
Yes. Now, he does claim that he talked to multiple members of Congress and seek their approval, but there wasn't a vote. There wasn't an explicit vote taken.
No.
And this has been an issue over the last few administrations of, does Congress need to vote to sanction these actions?
Well, you know, it's more along the lines of considering all the implications. But at the same time, though, it rings true, and I wish I had one of those, sound bites from, case, Star Wars Episode 1, where you have the Emperor Palpatine talking how he has Congress bogged down in procedures.
Yes.
You know, so they can't really do anything.
Yes. Well, and you also have to remember that Congress at this time, or the Senate specifically at this time, was going over the Senate confirmation of Neil Gorsuch. That's what they were focusing on during this attack.
Yeah, wouldn't you know it? So parallels, people. We're paralleling movies here. I don't know if I've talked about this on previous conspiracy theory shows, but there is a... there's like an unwritten rule, an unknown rule. I don't know where I heard it from exactly, but I do remember reading it, that Hollywood is in direct knowledge of what's going on within governments and will make movies strictly for the purpose of self-censorship. Yeah. So, I mean, basically all you have to do is reference something science fiction-y that came out of the old Hollyweird, and you got it.
Basically.
Just like, oh, we got the nut jobs citing the people who write this stuff for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's great stuff. Anyway, we're going to get more into that here in a second. In the meantime, here's Radiohead with Paper Bag Rider. Stay tuned. Thank you. right. Well, we promised you Strange and Weird, and we definitely gave you that. That was Radiohead with Paper Bag Rider.
Interesting.
It was interesting. I will say that for it. This is an indie pop station, so we got to present to you some great tunes. We got to present to you also tunes of bands that they have a following.
No, they do. They're very popular. Yeah.
Radiohead, in the sense, was referenced. I remember on one of Avril Lavigne's tunes. It was one of her famous ones too.
Yeah.
Here's to Never Growing Up. So, you know, famous reference on that. But yeah, going straight back into this whole thing with Syria, and we haven't actually talked about what the real conspiracy here is, or the conspiracy theory.
It's all been background. There's so much background that just goes into this.
Oh, good grief, seriously. I mean, we are so taking Emperor Palpatine's advice on this while referencing how to get to the main point of anything.
Yes.
We're blocked down in procedures.
There's your soundbite.
Basically, I did my best impersonation as I possibly could. All right, so we actually referenced something that happened here, and this is just more for a frame of reference than actually going into the topic itself. But this goes into how Roe versus Wade was passed.
Yep.
And not saying that this is a bad thing, and not saying that we actually have a say. We're not actually putting a stand out there at all. But this actually had to do with how Congress started interpreting law. Okay. So, straight into it. This is taken out of CNSnews.com, commentary / Patrick's - J - Buchanan / Nixon. You guys can get the basic idea. That's just way too much for me to read. And plus, I'm getting tongue twisted, and you're going to be like, what? Okay. So, going into it. 3 days after Nixon's second inaugural in Roe versus Wade, written by Blackmun, the court declared the right to an abortion had been hidden in the Constitution, though it had been a crime in every state when Earl Warren was appointed by Ike. All doubt was now removed. The Supreme Court was using its right to declare what the law says and what the Constitution means, to reshape America in the image of Earl Warren, and I mean, it's just using its own bias at this point.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, like, while going into how they went about redefining and shaping the Constitution, we kind of use the referencing on what's happened with the executive branch at this point. Whereas you have Trump, who's acting alone.
Yes.
And using his power, so to speak, to say, hey, we don't approve of this, and you shouldn't do this, you know. When it's a civil war between in one country that, although atrocious, still...
It's not something that can be seen favorable if we go in supporting one side.
Exactly. You know, and in this instance, it's put us in a tough situation as far as Russia is concerned.
Yeah, especially since Russia does have, they do have a side. They flat out say they have a side. It's with Assad. And the U.S. isn't 100% favorable in that opinion, but we're going to let it play out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's really interesting though too, because you go into this whole, if you go into the whole conspiracy, and then I'm pulling from another conspiracy theory on this. And I was talking to you a little bit about this earlier, but this goes back to the JFK assassination.
Yes.
And how and the conspiracy theory is into how LBJ was elected president, basically saying that he was going to do everything that Kennedy said he would not do.
Yeah.
One of them being to go into the Vietnam War. I mean, there's literally a promise. I mean, and you can go back and look this up in the documentary for the assassination of JFK, but it has LBJ, or somebody playing as LBJ, saying that he would give... Oh, no, it's not even that. It's the JFK with famous actor, Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Kevin Costner. Perfect. And all of you know that one, JFK. but yeah, it talks about how, yeah, I'll give you guys your bleepity bleep war, you know?
Yeah.
So you have kind of a similar situation here where we have something that obviously puts us on edge with another country, and it's just not very fun right now.
No, and the problem is when you get into things like this where we're taking a distinctive stance against another notable power, it becomes a proxy war. and proxy wars in history haven't been the best turnouts because they resulted in two world wars.
Exactly. And that's kind of what, you know, it makes it interesting because you go along thinking that the world leaders have clearly learned their lesson when they do stuff like this.
Yep.
You know, so...
Because, and here's Russia's defense on the chemical weapons being used.
Okay.
They claimed that the Assad regime was attacking a rebel stockpile of ammunition. They had no knowledge that the chemicals were there, and the chemicals got released into the air, and that's what happened. So they claimed that their attack on the city was not chemical, but the byproduct was they released chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Which killed them. That's Russia and Assad's defense, but it sounds pretty weird being their defense because they're actually still bombing that city to this day right now.
Yeah.
No, so exactly. You think they would be more careful if they believe that the rebels do in fact have chemical weapons. And if the rebels have chemical weapons, we also need to stop that. Chemical weapons cannot be in play in warfare.
No, they really shouldn't. And, I mean, like, this is just proof of that fact, that we really should not be dealing with anything as dangerous as this. And just emotionally scarring. I mean, mentally scarring.
Yeah.
I mean, you had how many people actually survived from that and still have to live with the damage of that, you know?
Yeah. Well, and then apparently there was a hospital in this city that was treating those affected by the chemicals, and then that hospital was bombed.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently a Russian drone flew overhead, seeing what had happened, and so the U.S. claims they were trying to cover it up by them bombing the hospital so that you couldn't see that they were treating chemical results.
Well, they were just shooting themselves in the foot, so to speak.
If we didn't know at the time, though.
Yeah, no, and we really didn't know at the time, though. That's like, ugh.
But these chemicals kind of goes into what you were talking last week about Waco. You were explaining the chemicals used there, the burning of the skin. Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
I mean, like, and it was an excellent cover-up as far as the whole burning thing was concerned, because supposedly the Davidian compound actually burned themselves out.
Yes.
You know, there's like a mass suicide, because it's listed as one of the top 10 suicides, or the top 10 most... top 10 mass suicides.
Yeah, there were a lot of people in that compound, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But and there were chemical agents used in that, and just further goes on. Why are we using chemicals?
Yeah, no, exactly. Why are we using chemicals? Well, and you see, that was the unofficial documentation.
Yes.
Coming, and this was also, supposedly, Janet Reno was actually involved in this.
Yes.
She was a governor.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Nevada, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, she did this for also... She had her own political push, and she did a lot of sketchy stuff, apparently.
Yeah.
Off the record.
Well, and... Yeah, there's a lot on Janet Reno as well, but you also have the fact that... still staying on the whole chemical thing...
Mm.
So the UN in Geneva made these conventions that chemical weapons can no longer be used. And one chemical weapon was that countries had were smallpox.
Oh, yeah.
And we basically agreed, well, if there's an outbreak of smallpox, someone has to have some on hand so that we can create a vaccine. And so the US was decided to keep smallpox. But there's conspiracies that... Russia still has a lot of it.
Yeah.
Unofficially, Russia has a lot of it. And that just doesn't sound good.
Yeah, no, it sounds sketchy. I mean, it's something that we can't really rely on as far as official reports are concerned. Because you're having too many people who are acting on their own. And you also had that whole instance of... during the Trump campaign where they were pushing the fact that you can't trust the other side.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, well, clearly we can't trust authority, although we promote trusting authority, and in one sense we should, because it helps promote structure and helps promote a functional government, you know, by inherently trusting each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I was doing stuff like this, it just undermines that entire plan.
No, yeah, and again, going back to Trump, this kind of has to do with that whole, did Russia tamper with the election? And when you're getting into that, you have Russia who wanted Trump in office, supposedly to prevent something like this from happening, to prevent attacks against what it wanted. Yeah. And here we are attacking Russia in a proxy war. So did Russia really get the best end of that deal?
No. I'll tell you what. War is a no-win situation. It is a lose-lose situation.
Oh, no, you're going to lose it. But the leaders always believe that they can control it.
Oh, every time. You know, and it never actually happens that way. I mean, take a look at the Revolutionary War for the United States.
Yeah.
That case in point, we actually had controlling interests who supposedly you had central banks within England funding both sides of the war.
Yeah, well, and you had the French and the Germans sending over mercenaries to help us, theoretically to make England weaker, but instead they just made another power that could threaten its own ability.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, we're going to get more to you here in just a second. Here is Tokyo by Teen. Stay tuned. Okay, well, that was Tokyo by Teen, and that was interesting.
It was a good song.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right. So getting straight into it, you had the... you're leading in with the whole North Korea thing.
Yeah, North Korea. There is a tie-in between Syria and North Korea, as crazy as that may sound. So North Korea, who isn't the friendliest nation to the rest of the world...
They're known as the crazies.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. This whole Syria attack was kind of seen as a two-prong approach by President Trump. Basically, let's attack Syria for using chemical weapons, show that we're serious, but also give the nod to North Korea that, like, okay, U.S. interest is a good thing, and we're not scared to attack countries if they go against it.
Yo. Yeah. Yeah. No, that it's... Yeah, it's kind of like declaring a free speech embargo,
yeah,
in one sense. Like saying, you do this our way or else we're going to gang up on you.
Yeah, especially since North Korea, especially lately, has been very boisterous, mm-hmm, in what it believes is the destruction of the U.S.
Oh, man, yeah.
Because I think it's within the last, I want to say the last year or year and a half, they've actually detonated two nuclear weapons.
Which is pretty serious.
I remember when the first one went off, I was like, wait, they set off like an actual nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
Like a real, okay. That, like, because I always remember hearing stories of my parents of, like, during Cold War time, like, oh, yeah, we did these practice drills hid under the desk because that's going to do something.
No.
And I don't know why, but, like, nuclear warfare has never been, like, a fear of mine.
No.
But they're actually setting off nuclear weapons there.
Yeah. Well, you know, in that part of the world, it's been having its fair share of nukes, unfortunately.
Yes.
I'm not even nuke related, but still radioactive related. I mean, you had back in 2011, you had the
The name literally just left me.
It was, you know, the in Japan they had the meltdown for the
Fukushima.
Yeah, Fukushima.
Yep, there we go.
Yeah. No, they had the meltdown, and that part of Tokyo, I'm told, is there's a part of Tokyo that's completely uninhabitable.
Oh yeah, I would believe it. Yeah.
Because of it. But yeah, no, that
Well, yeah, issues. Same with the chemical weapons. Chemical weapons and nuclear bombs, you don't have a lot of control over what happens with them.
Oh, no, they're subject to wind patterns and just whatever happens.
Water currents?
Yeah, water currents, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
Yeah. Well, and part of the reason why North Korea kind of probably plays a larger role is because the day that this attack took place, Trump was in his Mar-a-Lago home in Florida meeting with the president of China, supposedly over North Korean relations.
Uh-huh.
So.
Dang it.
Kind of showing the Chinese, like, hey, we're doing something in the world.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. There's things going on in the world. They're always pushing their own... They're just pushing their own things. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that we have the whole tie-in with different nations saying who can do what. I mean, this is actually going to go into our next segment, but before we go into that, we are going to give you some more music. So here is This It by The Strokes. Stay tuned.
Just for a while.
All right, and we are back. I like that song, actually. It was a little bit better than the first two we listened.
It was good.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, no, I was just reading up on some news over here while we were on the break, and one of them is Boris Johnson cancels Russia trip after U.S. airstrikes in Syria. He's a visit by U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson will go ahead while Mr. Johnson gathers support among G7 nations. Unrelated, but I don't know. And also, Trump's libertarian supporters worldwide desert him over Syria strikes.
And you're getting that a lot, I feel, not just with libertarians, but with people in general, because I don't think anybody really, any of Trump's supporters, expected a military attack so early into his presidency.
I mean, this is, I mean, it's almost in one sense feels like kind of a similar tactic as 9/11. For George Bush in his presidency.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like he's really struggling in the polls. He needs to earn that support. And the whole push into the Afghan war was...
Approval ratings for presidents have historically gone up when countries go into war. It's a fact.
Oh, every time. And it's basically because, like, oh, we're uniting together behind this common enemy or this common threat, which is clearly a, you know... label of wrongdoing.
Well, you had that with Bush with Iraq. You had that with Obama in Libya, which was also a civil war. And now you have Trump, who's in... it was on his 74th day in office that this attack took place. He's not even past the 100 days, and he's already practically declared war on another country.
Is it past the 100 days yet?
No, that was day 74. It's like day 76 right now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
We're still very fresh into this presidency.
Yay. So much to look forward to. You know, we could just like build it up and have this huge suspense coming up and be like, oh my gosh, if this is the beginning, we can only expect to imagine what will happen in the rest of Trump's presidency. And then he becomes a lame duck.
Well, he's already campaigning for his second term.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's already had campaign events.
No fooling.
Yep.
He's just like, four more years, to quote Schwarzenegger.
There you go.
All right, so going into the whole libertarian supporters across the world desert Trump over Syria airstrikes, isolationist backers of the former reality show hosts, including Marine Le Pen and Nigel Farage, condemn president for acting like policemen of the world.
Well, and then you go into the fact of, like, U.S. has always been called, like, the police force. Ever since the end of World War II, it's like, hey, they're the ones that come around and tell us what to do. What? Who gave us that authority?
Yeah, nobody really did.
No one. We kind of just came in with the division of Germany kind of being the first part. Like, hey, we're going to decide what's best for you now.
Well, yeah, it's kind of interesting, you know, because we go back into the days and when the League of Nations was formed. And again, there was just talking about how we've given voice to the rest of the countries to have a say. But at the same time, though, guess who was put at the head of the League of Nations and the United Nations for multiple terms?
The head of the League of Nations was... No, sorry. I was about to say Roosevelt. It wasn't.
The U.S.
Well, it was the U.S., but it wasn't... Yeah, I was thinking of a person.
Yeah, I don't know the actual person exactly, but I do know for a fact that the U.S.
No, yeah, we were put in power for it.
Yeah, we were the ones who were in charge of what happened where and when. And I think that changed recently, so I'm not really sure who's in charge right now as far as that's concerned. I do know that U.S. doesn't have the main voice, though.
Well, so the Secretary General of the U.N. currently is Ban Ki-moon, and he's stepping down theoretically soon. And guess who the top prospect for that position is?
Who?
Barack Obama.
No fooling.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories going around saying that he will be the next Secretary General of the U.N.
Oh, wow. And how? Wasn't he just on vacation, like, on skis and stuff, saying, like, haha, you guys are suckers, you got Trump as president now?
I'm not sure where he is, but he's been very vocal compared to past ex-presidents. Really? Like, he hasn't said anything. Usually presidents have been very good on staying out of the next president's way.
Right. No, it's... it's been very interesting. You've had them usually quietly step down. They'll show up at public events.
Yeah. Inaugurations.
Inaugurations. You know, there won't be anything more than that. It'll be like, oh, well, hey, here's the next torchbearer. We'll see how he does.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, going in with a Barack Obama, that's a news for me.
Like, yeah, it like supposedly Ban Ki-moon was supposed to step down like right as the election happened.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think things with the election got so confusing when Trump won that he decided to stay a little bit longer.
Wow. Just wow. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, I remember hearing rumors, and this was just rumors, mind you, that during the campaign, things were so heated and things were so tense within the U.S., there was whispers that martial law was going to be declared, and we would have, and Obama would have made it, or frozen the election.
And frozen the election, yeah.
And maintained his presidency.
Well, and another thing, like, we're talking about all these supposed wars that could break out, is that people in the press always lose rights during war. You always have the suppression of rights. You had it with the Patriot Act during the Iraq War. And with all of this turmoil headed now, Germany's actually enacted their own suppression of rights.
Oh, yeah, you were just telling me about that. I thought that was insane.
Yeah, so the term fake news has kind of become a thing in the last year.
And I just saw it when I was in Austria. They were just talking about it as kind of a thing. Go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, Germany... their parliament this week said that it is a $58 million fine for search engine companies such as Google if they do not suppress fake news.
Yeah, and what is fake news exactly?
Apparently, for some people, everything that we've said right now. This entire show is fake news, apparently.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
It's always a matter of opinion, and that's why we've had the freedom of speech. But Germany is stripping that away.
Yeah. I mean, and then who gets to decide what's real news, you know?
Well, and here you run into the same problem that we kind of just had with the Senate. With the Senate confirmation hearings for Neil Gorsuch, is the Republicans put in what was called the nuclear option, allowing for a simple majority to approve the Supreme Court nominee. Well, here's your problem. You did that for you to make it easier to put in your person, but what happens when the Democrats get control of the Senate? Then they only need a simple majority.
Yeah.
So, and you're going to have that same problem with Germany right now. Some people may be fine with it, but when the next administration comes in that might be on your opposite side, they're going to use that same power against you again. So you may think you're winning, but it's a short-term win when you figure we always have transition of power in governments.
Yeah, it's really a fact, though. I mean, you can't suppress the news thinking that you're actually solving anything.
Yeah.
You're creating more problems. You're creating the issue of misinformation, you know, the ability not to actually come to a conclusion that would be well-rounded. I mean, this sounds something like suppression of news is never a good thing, especially when it's coming from Germany, who being the one that's doing it.
Probably. But you have to remember, in a lot of these countries, in Syria and Russia, they have their state news.
Right.
They have the news that is run by the federal government, and they control the story.
Right.
Also with North Korea.
Yeah.
The U.S. not really has their, like, they, I don't know, there's not an equivalent here in the U.S.
No. For us, though, we have, like, a whole bunch of different news sources, and some of which I find more reliable than others, like, news sources that I can look to and find pretty reliable are like New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, Washington Post. Just to name a few, The Economist.
Yeah, and that has to do with the fact that we need to allow freedom of opinion. And the reason we have so many is so that each person can find the source that they believe.
Basically. Not only that, so they can actually come to find the news. I mean... Well, just getting into this, but I actually saw, like, on Fox News this morning, I saw both sides of the spectrum being portrayed on Fox News this morning. And that was with the whole Trump not getting approval from Congress and saying that he overstepped his bounds by doing what he did. This is coming from Fox News, who's right wing, who supposedly is one of Trump's biggest supporters. You know, and they're, anyway, the whole suppression of news, the whole saying, like, we can't rely on any one news source because clearly it's fake news because of their past, you know, actions. Who's to say?
Well, and I've been finding this out a lot more recently because I grew up with my news sources. I listened to them and I didn't really trust anyone else. And I've gotten more of watching the other side and I say, oh, yeah, you are right on that. On that front. And that's why you need the conflict of ideas, so you can find that middle ground.
Exactly. It's just like bring the two together and actually have people start paying attention. I mean, at this point, it's okay that people are talking, as long as they're talking.
Yeah. Well, and see, what I want to know is what do you hope to gain from the suppression of fake news? Like, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to control the story so that your party has an easier nomination? Like, what's the overall goal?
Well, who's to say? I mean, it could... At this point, we have no idea, but feel free to text in. Give us your opinions. Again, the number is 435-79-RADIO, 435-797-2346. And in the meantime, we're going to play Casual Rex by Adult Books. Stay tuned.
Last
And welcome back from Casual Rex by Adult Books. You know, I've heard a few songs by them, and in all honesty, I've always thought they sounded weird, but I thought the title fit really well for what we were talking about beforehand.
No, yeah, we're just casually talking about chemical weapons, nuclear warfare, and World War III.
Yeah, and the possibility of how it could all go crashing in front of everyone's face.
Yep.
So, Casual Rex, by Adult Books. Go, you indie pop bands, you.
Well, going into how you were talking about the League of Nations, mm-hmm. What's the reason it doesn't exist anymore?
Oh, the League of Nations? There was faulty communication that was going on with that. Ultimately, there was decisions being made that were causing more problems, and it was blatantly obvious that those problems were being caused. However, they were put under Woodruff's. Was it Wilford Woodruff? No, wait, that's
Woodrow Wilson.
My bad.
The
oh
names
my
are
gosh.
Very similar.
They so are.
I've done that same mistake so many times.
Yeah, almost every single day. WW, seriously. Woodrow Wilson, he was the main instigator for that. And on his deathbed, he said he'd made the worst mistake he had ever made in his life.
Well, because the result of the League of Nations was World War II.
Pretty much, yeah.
Basically.
It just caused all sorts of issues. And also under Woodrow Wilson, like, catch me if I'm wrong on this, but also the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
He was the one who signed it into law. He promised that he'd actually sign it into law.
Huh.
Federal Reserve is another story. And if you guys haven't read this, there is a book in the USU library called Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Eustace Mullins. One of the co-authors of that was Ezra Pound. Ezra Pound was not a fan of the U.S.
Oh, no.
He did a lot of really sketchy things during his lifetime. But at the same time, though, they were going over as many facts as they could. There is a bias on it, obviously.
Well, and
a recommended read.
When you go into the fact of, okay, he created the Federal Reserve, he created the League of Nations, what more could a world elitist want than those two creations?
Oh, yeah, no, seriously. In the Constitution, it talks about how a central bank is unconstitutional, and, I mean, there's actually a cartoon that was made on it.
Oh, yeah.
Where they actually quote Thomas Jefferson saying something about banks causing inflation and deflation, and before long, the people would find themselves homeless on the good grief, without a place on the home that their fathers conquered, or something like that. You know.
Well, and what's interesting is if the founders were so much against it, that was like the very original debate that Congress and the presidents had very early in our nation, because Andrew Jackson was so for a Federal Reserve. He was.
Was he really?
Oh, yeah. He was very much for the Federal Reserve.
That is so weird, because the information that I had, he was the one who actually cut it off. So, I don't know. I have to go back and look
that one up. It's either Jackson or the president who was against him. But it was a very early debate within our nation was the Federal Reserve.
No, and see, Jackson was, that was probably I've learned a lot about Jackson in the last little while. Apparently, a lot of people really did not like him because he did a lot of things which were against the natives of this.
The violation of virtually every treaty.
Oh, yeah, violation of every treaty. Apparently, though, what I thought was the only good thing that he did was stand against the Federal Reserve Act. So
now, I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, I don't have to go check our facts on that one. So just so you guys know, that information's out there. You can look it up. I just remember seeing this. It's called American Dream Cartoon. For those of you who are fans of South Park humor, it uses that, and it's actually pretty funny.
Woodrow Wilson did sign in the Federal Reserve. We can tell you that for a fact.
Oh, yeah. No, he totally did. by the way, that text-in number, for those of you who are listening in, it is 435-797-2346. That's 435-79-RADIO.
Yeah. So. And so you have the Federal Reserve, you have the League of Nations, which is now the modern version of the League of Nations is the UN.
It's the UN.
And then you have the IMF, which is basically the World Federal Reserve. And world elitists love this because they get a lot of control over what happens.
I know. know, right? I mean, like, nothing in what our government has done up to this point has made sense. Even the elections which recently took place with Trump, which we've talked about in depth, well, not in depth, but abundantly.
Yes. Well, and you can see all the times that it's affected the role play of Syria and Russia and their relations with it. It changed a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. No, it's changed a lot of things. It's changed how we view the world. Every single presidential election, especially since the dawn of the millennium, has drastically changed the face of the way the governments of the world are run.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's all started. We can all tie this back to 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
It started everything.
Yeah. So I'm going to put you on the spot really fast.
Go for it, man.
Okay, I have two questions for you. Scale 1 to 10, how much did the Trump, what impact did the Trump election have on world history? 10 being high, 1 being low.
You're going to put me on the spot for this particular question. you know, for the momentum that it caused, I would have put him at a solid 9.
Okay, now what about the Syria bombing? Same ratio.
Same potential for, I don't know, it's kind of a devastating thing, kind of a little, it has potential for huge devastation.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on how the world takes it, I'd also put that up there pretty high.
Yeah, because that's the thing that we don't know yet, is like, is this just going to blow over, or is this the Archduke Ferdinand moment?
Yeah, are we that dumb? You know, it's just like, are the world leaders that dumb? We ask this question, I think, regularly on the show now. Are the people that stupid to really let things happen like that?
History is so repetitive.
It is. We just like go like a dog to its vomit all the time.
Yep.
This is scriptural, by the way. For those of you who may or may not be aware of that particular factor. But yeah, no, we're actually drawing to a close of our show this evening. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We haven't decided on our next topic, but the next go-around, it's going to be, April 13th? No. It's the 15th.
15th.
We all know what happened on April 15th.
Why are we doing a show on April 15th?
It's a Saturday.
I told you I don't like that day. You made me scared of that day last week.
Oh, by the way, for those of you who didn't know, and I was going to add this into our show today, some of the most major opponents to the Federal Reserve were actually given a free pass on the Titanic. I mean, it was meant for the multi-billionaires, the super rich and super wealthy are just like, it's the unsinkable ship. And they emphasized on unsinkable. Why would you emphasize on unsinkable? Oh, wait. It was during that whole world.
I did always find that weird. I'm like, why would you promote that?
Why would that be your platform? Yeah.
It's like you're building you build this giant office building and you say, this is the greatest office building and will never fall down. Why do you have to specify that?
Yeah, what's the reasoning behind it? And then clearly it's just like, the answer is in the wording, my friend. It's unsinkable, but we actually put the words sinkable in there. Ha ha, ha ha.
Oh, that's not creepy at all.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to be creepy whatsoever. Anyway, all right, so we'll be back next week with another conspiracy on April 15th. I don't think we'll be talking about the Titanic.
No.
We could talk about the Titanic, but I don't think we'll talk about the Titanic. We'll just bring it up for the sake of anniversary purposes.
Yeah, we'll give a gentle nod to it.
Exactly. Be like, hey, what's up? Anyway, on that note...
That you'll all be thinking about the Titanic virtually all week now.
Exactly. Bringing you more of the strange, odd, but mysterious, and just flat-out weird. This is Library of Mysteries with Jason Crummett and...
Jason Daniels.
And we will see you next week. We'll have our other co-host back on the show, Rachel Jones, as well. So here is Blame It on the Tetons by Modest Mouse. See you next week.
Won't bite you, though it had the right to.